Nations relocate 19 refugees in major operation. And in global news, polls now open across Canada as Liberal Party seeks fourth term amid Trump tariff threats. With the 18 Hours Main News Bulletin on Phoenix FM, I'm Kafula Mulenga. Minister of Health Dr. Elijah Muchima has urged increased funding for the National Health Insurance Management Authority, NEMA, to protect Zambia's most vulnerable amid U.S. support freeze for the sector. Dr. Muchima says although the Ministry of Finance and National Planning is proactive in backing health programs, there is a need to increase investment for the country's health scheme. Speaking at a high-level dialogue on sustainable health financing, convened by the Afro Champions Initiative at the ongoing IMF World Bank Spring Meetings in Washington, D.C., the health minister outlined strategies for preserving healthcare gains in Africa, despite shrinking external assistance. He has praised Zambia's domestic efforts to deploy local resources effectively and recommended targeting NEMA subsidies towards those unable to afford premiums, ensuring equitable access to essential services. Meanwhile, Zambia's ambassador to the United States, Dr. Chibamba Kanyama, has reaffirmed the embassy's commitment to sustaining stakeholder engagement in the health sector.
The Ministry of Finance has been supporting our ministry so much, and even adjusting whatever was done last time, Ministry of Health was not. We have just been very prudent. We have to be prudent with the resources that the aid is not there. And also we have to look at our NEMA. How do we broaden it? If at home in the city, we need to look for medicine for you. Time has come for us all to contribute to that. If Coach Wan was able to contribute 10.20 points broaden the NEMA, that's the only way we shall be able to sustain our health scheme. Otherwise, depending on the pressure out, that's not possible. It's not going to be possible. And also, this reduces the wastage. There's a lot of wastage.
The Department of Immigration in Indola has apprehended 17 persons for various immigration offences and relocated 19 refugees to Mayukwayukwa Refugee Settlement after they were found outside the settlement without the required mobility passes. Department Chief Public Relations Officer Namatin Shinka says 11 undocumented Tanzanian nationals were found sharing a single house in Masala and taken into custody during a routine operation on the 26th of April. In a separate incident, a Zambian man has been arrested for obstructing officers and harboring illegal immigrants at his rented premises. Mr. Nshinka also disclosed that the man's Congolese wife has been detained for unlawful possession of a Zambian registration card alongside a Congolese laissez-passer, while two other individuals claiming Zambian citizenship face investigation.
On Saturday, 26th April 2025, the Ndola Regional Immigration Office conducted a routine cleanup operation in Ndola's Masala, Copperland, and Chifubu areas. The operation led to the apprehension of 17 individuals for various immigration-related offences. Among those apprehended were 11 undocumented Tanzanian nationals who were found residing in a single house in Masala. During the operation, immigration officers apprehended a 36-year-old Zambian male, Mwila Kapia, along with his Congolese wife and two suspected Congolese nationals claiming Zambian citizenship in Copperland. Mr. Kapia was arrested for obstructing immigration officers and harboring illegal immigrants after he refused to grant them access to his rented premises for over 5 hours.
A 17-year-old male has died in Zambezi district of Southern Province after being attacked by a crocodile. The incident occurred along the Makondo River sometime between 14 hours on the 19th of April 2025 and 18 hours on the 27th of April 2025. Police Assistant Public Relations Officer Godfrey Chilavi has confirmed the incident, indicating that police were notified yesterday by a local resident that his younger brother, identified as Felix Masumba, had gone missing on the 19th of April. Mr. Chilavi says after a family-led search, the deceased's body was located floating in the river on the 27th of April, with both legs missing and head lacerations. He disclosed that, however, during recovery efforts, a crocodile suddenly emerged and carried away the remaining parts of the body. Officers and other stakeholders are continuing search operations for any recoverable remains. The Association of Small-Scale Miners has urged the Ministry of Mines to fast-track the establishment of mining cooperatives for artisanal and small-scale operators. Acting Association President Kelvin Tembo says the move is critical to sustaining a sector that provides livelihoods for a growing number of youths on the Copperbelt. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Tembo observes that while recent regulatory measures have placed it on firmer footing, the current pace of a cooperative formation risks slowing down its development. He has called for an accelerated timeline to ensure miners can organize formally and access the support structures needed for growth. To fully harness the potential of small-scale mining, Mr. Tembo has recommended the introduction of flexible policies tailored to the unique needs of artisanal miners that can facilitate investment, improve access to finance and equipment, and strengthen community engagement.
Would just ask that the whole process of trying to actualize this is expedited, because once the process is done, make the lives of those that do depend on these sites to have something to look up. I know there's a lot of caution that is being undertaken, looking at the very fact of safety, which is priority number one. So that said, there should be a lot of caution from the government to actually actualize the whole process, because they are a lot of factors that have been considered before the commencement of the operations. So in my human way, I would simply say, make it faster.
The Farmers Development Cooperative Union on the Copperbelt is urging government to facilitate smallholder access to loans and mechanized equipment to boost crop yields and expand exports. Cooperative Chairperson Catherine Chisala says widespread mechanization can address the finance, technology and market constraints that limit small-scale producers. Mrs. Gisala tells Phoenix News that this initiative aligns with global efforts to empower smallholder farmers, who are crucial not only to Zambia's agricultural sector, but also to 80% of Africa's food production. She believes government's promotion of agricultural mechanization, including the use of tractors and other farm equipment, can significantly enhance productivity and efficiency, resulting in a huge export base, especially that Zambia mostly relies on imports. Mrs. Gisala has since encouraged Copperbelt farmers to form partnerships, arguing that collective action will strengthen communities, drive sustainable agricultural growth, and widen Zambia's food basket.
We have this foreign exchange rate which keeps going up. It's because we only import, we don't export. Everyone needs food, and most people have underplayed the importance of food. That's why we have positioned ourselves. It's not everything that government can do, but we need support from government. Mechanization, I've heard them talking about mechanization. It's the best way to go. We may be landlocked, but we've got a lot of water bodies. So if we mechanize our farming, we can be growing crops throughout the year. If you know, right now we have ZMS all over the place trying to stop people from smuggling. That is a very biggest opportunity for us to just grow more maize so that we can open the market.
You're listening to the evening news on Phoenix FM. We have global news after the break.
Phoenix FM. Check.
There we go.
106.7 and Mwanzi.
Polls are now open across Canada, where a snap election is being held to determine who will become the country's next prime minister. It comes just 6 weeks after Mark Carney was sworn in as prime minister, replacing his party colleague Justin Trudeau. The two clear frontrunners are the Liberal Party led by Carney, who have been in power for a decade, and the Conservative Party led by Pierre Poilievre. We monitored the BBC for this and other global news stories.
Canadians are voting in a general election which has been dominated by Donald Trump's trade policy and threats to make the country part of the United States. The Liberal Party of Prime Minister Mark Carney has seen its fortunes transformed during the campaign. Large parts of Spain and Portugal are without electricity because of a massive power cut. Public transport, communications and many businesses have been affected. Hospitals are operating normally because of the use of generators. President Putin has declared a three-day unilateral ceasefire in the war in Ukraine. It's due to begin on the 8th of May, coinciding with the 80th anniversary of the defeat of Nazi Germany.
And to end the bulletin, let's take another look at the headlines. Health Minister calls for increased investment into NEMA amid US aid freeze. Ndola Immigration nab 17 for violations, relocate 19 refugees in major operation. And in global news, polls now open across Canada as Liberal Party seeks fourth term amid Trump tariff threats. For these and other stories,